Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Dan Friel was the mastermind behind the rock band Parts and Labor. Now he makes electronic music you can dance to. Which doesn't mean he makes electronic dance music. It's not music made by a DJ hitting play and sending the hordes dancing in the clubs. Dan Friel's music is played live on an almost defiantly simple and lo-fi rig of keyboard and electronics. And the music is full of twists and surprises. It's also instrumental. We don't hear much instrumental pop music anymore, but you're about to hear some now. Dan Friel's newest album is called Life, and here he is to play the song called Life Part 1, live on Soundcheck. Dan Friel, live on Soundcheck with Life, Part 1, from his new album called Life. It's out on October 16th. Dan Friel here with us in the Soundcheck studio. All of that music played live by one guy with one little keyboard on his lap and a couple of effects boxes. And Dan, first of all, good to see you. Welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks for having me.
So why restrict yourself to such a kind of determinedly small and constrictive set of tools to work with?
I mean, there's, you know, it's a good way to work because it limiting yourself, you force yourself to come up with ways to continue, but you have parameters. So, you know, if you have too many options, you can end up just not knowing where to go with it. You can also end up just, you know, using equipment for no reason. Mm. And when I started doing this in like 2001, and this is a very dated concept, but I was having a little bit of like a, you know, laptops on stage are the worst kind of thing. Very 2001. So I wanted to come up with a way to make electronic music that was not going to be requiring me to buy new equipment, new stuff. And I sort of decided at that point that I was going to stick with this keyboard that I had had since I was 8 and see if I could just really grow this very specific music with mm-hmm. it.
Well, and, you know, especially for people who watch you, a good part of the visual charm is many of us had that keyboard
yep.
or one very much like it
yeah.
as kids, you know? I mean, they're practically toys, and yet somehow you actually make, like, real music with it, you know, which is...
That's right.
although I did notice that after I went out of my way in the intro to say you make electronic music that you can dance to but not EDM, there you are employing, like, the bass drop.
Yeah, that one does. That one totally does have a... I mean, you know, a bass drop of, you know, non-traditional methods.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, totally.
So the album's called Life. It begins with a lullaby. Halfway through, there's a track called Sleep Deprivation.
Yeah, there is.
This sounds like the work of a recent dad.
Yeah. So Wolf, my son, was born 5 days after the release of my last record, Total Folklore, which came out in 2013. There's some footage somewhere of that record release show, and Sarah is like dancing in front and is just, you know, so pregnant. And 5 days later, we were parents. And so, you know, I didn't set out when I started recording this music to make a record about parenthood. It's not a concept record or anything. But it's like, it's there. It's part of my life now, so mm-hmm. I just threw it in there. The lullaby at the beginning is this thing that I used to sing to him, you know, just like, you know, ooh, kind of thing in the, you know, to get him to go to sleep. And then I just ended up recording it and then deciding to put it at the front of the record, and suddenly it's, you know, very much about him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you did sing with Parts and Labor, mm-hmm. but... As Dan Friel, I mean, your solo work tends to be instrumental.
Yeah.
But it is still, you know, many of the songs on this album are clearly recognizably pop once you get past the kind of sound world that it's in. You know, if you look at the structure yeah. and the hooks and stuff, it's pop music.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Dan Friel solo project actually predates Parts and Labor. That's where it came from. I was doing these solo shows, and BJ, the other, you know, singer and songwriter in Parts and Labor, saw me doing it and was like, we should form a band around this. But I've stuck with it being instrumental, and I do try to go as pop as I possibly can, melodically, mm-hmm. and as non-pop as I possibly can texturally.
So the place where noise meets pop,
yeah.
you know, a kind of unexplored place.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, the interesting thing is the question of what happened to instrumental pop music. It used to, mm-hmm. I mean, you think of the 60s, let alone the 1930s, where, you know,
right.
half of it was instrumental.
Of course.
But even in the 60s and even in the 70s, you had Frankenstein, but was it Edgar or Johnny Winter? One of the Winter Brothers. I mean, you
yeah.
know, these
yeah.
like rock and roll instrumentals, Hocus Pocus by Focus and... You know,
yeah, and then you even get into like, you know, stuff like Rocket and stuff like
Rocket,
that in the
yes.
80s. But you know, by the 70s, you know, they were the oddballs. They
yeah,
were, you
yeah.
know, they were generally, you know, an instrumental pop song was a one-hit wonder. And, you know, I didn't really go into this thinking about the history of instrumental pop. Like, my pop influences are probably more like, you know, the Magnetic Fields or something like that. I don't know. You got me thinking about it now.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. I mean, Herbie Hancock did Rocket in, what, 83, thereabouts?
Sounds right.
And, you know, has there been an instrumental pop song that's charted since then? That's a long stretch of time. But here's the thing. You know, neuroscientists tell us that our brain, different parts of our brain are activated when we hear another voice in a song. So, you know, for you, it seems like it was a conscious decision. I'm not going to go that route.
Yeah, it was.
Do you ever miss hearing the voice? You know, when you listen back, you think, oh, maybe I should have just flown in a little vocal track there.
I miss the physical sensation of singing loud with a loud band. That is fun. But I wouldn't want to do it with this. I don't think that, I don't know, it feels right. Another thing that I've been playing with now that I've like sort of committed to doing this instrumental music for a while is that it frees you up to then give it to other instruments. So I've done, at the last record release show, I did acoustic versions of a couple of these songs. One of the ones I'm going to play today, Thumper, we did with 10 acoustic guitars tuned Glenn Branca style, 3 horns, and Greg Fox from Liturgy on drums.
And when you say Glenn Branca style, that's that kind of open microtonal tuning?
Or? I mean, they're just, you know, the guitars were tuned to all, I don't remember, A and D or something like that. And
everybody so was to just, get those overtones.
Yeah, yeah,
ringing.
To get the overtones. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All right. We're speaking with Dan Friel and hearing some music from his album Life. We talked about this kind of music at the juncture of noise and pop. This next song, Lungs, this is about as noisy as it gets on the record.
Yeah.
All right, Dan Friel with us here in the Soundcheck studio. And on October 15th, the night before the album comes out, Dan's doing a record release show in Brooklyn at Secret Project Robot. And he'll be doing it with the string quartet Ethel, with whom he's been working. They'll actually be performing a composition by Dan Friel, who's here with us in the Soundcheck studio. Let's hear this song called Lungs. Dan Friel, live on Soundcheck with a song called Lungs, which is from his newest album called Life. Live performance here in the Soundcheck studio on Dan's little, literally it's a laptop setup of a little keyboard and a couple of effects boxes sitting on Dan's lap. Before we leave, Dan, the topic we were talking about before of instrumental pop, I was saying, when's the last time an instrumental hit the top of the charts? Dan O'Donnell in the control room sends this this message. Harlem Shake by Bauer peaked at number one, February 2013. But both Dans, the Harlem Shake had vocal sampling in
right.
it. You know, there was still something to activate that side of the brain. But then other Dan says, theme from Mission Impossible, Adam Clayton and Larry Mullen from U2, hit number seven. I guess, TV theme songs movie theme songs, that does occasionally happen. And then one that I can hardly argue with because I remember this hitting number one in 1985, the Miami Vice theme song by Jan Hammer.
Wow, that hit. Yeah. Wow, I did not know that charted. I mean, a lot of them are TV themes. The one that I was just thinking about was Midnight Cowboy. Movie themes, too,
Oh, yeah. And Miami, what was it called? Hawaii 5-0. Yeah, that was a big hit back in like
really?
The
okay, so there's 70s. There's a good one. What was the last television theme to chart?
The last television theme? Dan, well,
Dan back there, you going to get on that? All right, cool.
Well, it seems like it might have been the Miami Vice theme, although now, now that you have, like, theme songs that are actual songs with lyrics, like the Friends theme song. I'll be there for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that put that band on the map.
What band was that?
Yeah, no, I knew you were going to say that.
What map are we talking about?
It's not the Walkmen, but it's a name like that. And it'll come to me just as soon as we get off the air. Anyway, we're speaking with Dan Friel here in the Soundcheck studio. The album Life is, as we would expect, mostly your music, but there is a cover. Mm-hmm. You do a version of Jamie Lover by the Welsh band called Joanna Gruesome.
Love that band.
So is this kind of a nod to your past in the kind of punk world?
Well, I feel like that band has a lot more of the, like, traditional concept of noise pop. And there is, like, a traditional concept of noise pop at this point, like the 80s, C86, like, tradition, stuff like that. And, in addition to just thinking that Joanna Gruesome is an awesome band.
Great name.
Yep. I thought it would be cool to cover one of their songs to sort of say, in a way, hey, this is noise pop. I feel like people sometimes have a hard time figuring out where to place my music. But noise pop as a concept doesn't have to be about guitars, I don't think. I think it's just about taking something that is like, taking a very pretty melody and a very harsh texture and figuring out ways to combine them. And it doesn't have to be just one type of pop and one type of noise.
Right. So how much of this, what you grew up listening to, what the kind of music you maybe studied in school, how much of that do we hear echoed in the solo keyboard stuff that you do?
I mean, I like to think that by limiting myself to this one thing, I can pour every influence that I have into it and have it not sound like a hodgepodge of things. It sounds like one thing. Mm-hmm. This goes back to something we were talking about before we were on the mics about when you combine influences, making it so it doesn't sound like there's, one section that sounds like this band, one section that sounds like this band.
A cup of this and a pinch of that.
In this case, because I'm funneling it all through this keyboard and this, one overdrive pedal and a couple of other things, I can pour anything in and it comes out sounding like me. And in a way, that makes it something that I can continue doing forever because I can just keep bringing in new influences.
All right. So now my follow-up question is, What happens when you're writing music that does not get funneled through that keyboard and that distortion pedal and this little, you know, you've written a string quartet for our mutual friends, Ethel.
Yeah, that was a great exercise. They said, you know, if we want, we can do something that's like string quartet and electronics. And I decided that the more interesting path would be to try and make a string quartet sound like what I do.
Well, you picked the right string quartet with Ethel.
definitely did. So like taking what melodically I've ended up with as the core of this music and then stripping off all the distortion. And unsurprisingly, what a lot of it ends up sounding like in that string quartet is Irish string band music. That's something that just started popping up in my music without me really thinking about it, you know, despite the fact that, you know, my whole family is very Irish and I used to listen to that stuff growing up. When I was writing that string quartet, I just wanted to figure out what it sounds like when there isn't all this distortion and there's no drums and all that stuff. And I'm really excited about what came out of it.
Were you surprised that that's what came out?
Well, I was surprised by the Irish thing maybe 10 years ago when people kept bringing it up. There's one band that did that was a huge influence on me, and that was a band from California called Amps for Christ. Do you know them at all?
No.
There was a band in the 90s, an experimental grind hardcore band called Man is the Bastard. That was my favorite thing when I was 17. I had a band in high school that sounded, you know, like a tribute band to Man is the Bastard. And one of the guys involved in that went off and did this thing that was very influenced by, you know, Celtic and British folk music with homemade electronics, homemade synthesizers, homemade guitars. So it's very noisy, but it's so pretty. There's an album called Circuits that I would...
I'll have to check it out. Yeah.
What was I talking about? Ethel. Anyway, so yeah, what it sounds like when it isn't going through all that stuff is that Ethel string quartet.
So you have to be musically literate. You have to be able to write parts out.
Yeah, I went to music school, and I did it in this sort of complicated way where I wasn't really good at any one instrument. I went to school on a academic scholarship and performance probation.
Like they what were does like, that mean?
Yeah,
yeah. Performance probation.
Special combination. I went to, you know, I started school as a jazz guitarist, and they were like, "We're going to give you money to come to school, but if you don't learn to play better, we're going to kick you out." Yep. And so I showed up with my like heavy metal guitar and tried to play jazz guitar for a while. And I realized eventually that I like jazz a lot. I like guitar a lot, but I don't like jazz guitar. And so, you know,
fair enough.
You learn. And so I just like bounced around on different instruments. I played upright bass for a long time. I got really into, 60s jazz was what I was interested in. I loved Mingus. I loved Coltrane. And so some of the melodic thing that's in there is, you know, maybe the Albert Eiler influence of mm-hmm. taking a very simple, beautiful melody and just pulling at it until it comes apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Making it just like so blaringly beautiful that it's kind of painful.
That's a really interesting comparison because, you know, that is a kind of noise pop. You know, at the heart of Albert Eiler's apparently gnarly, difficult, forbidding music, at the heart of it is a kind of a...
Beauty. Very yeah, simple
a,
beauty.
A simple kind of melody.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Dan Friel with us here in the Soundcheck studio. He's been playing some songs from the new album Life, but your final song is kind of a hit tune from the preceding record.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I'd mix it up a little bit.
You want to play Thumper?
I do.
All right. Dan Friel with us on Soundcheck today. On October 15th, the night before the album Life comes out, he's doing a record release show at Secret Project Robot here in Brooklyn, and performing with him will be none other than the string quartet Ethel. Actually, they'll be playing the string quartet that Dan was just talking about. That's on the evening of October 15th at Secret Project Robot. Right now, here's Dan in the Soundcheck studio. This is Thumper. That is Thumper from Dan Friel, another live performance here in the Soundcheck studio. Dan's new album is called Life. Thumper is from the preceding record. And so Dan here with me in the studio. And meanwhile, Dan, while you and I are here in the studio, Control Room Dan is continuing, instead of producing things, continuing to Google like instrumental pop songs.
Is he producing answers?
He's got one for us.
All right.
How Do You Talk to an Angel from the TV show The Heights was a number one song for 2 weeks in 1992.
Wow.
Now, I don't know the song, and I'd never heard of that TV show, so I don't know. Is it
The Heights was about a band, right?
Was it instrumental? I don't know.
I thought the TV show was about like people who started a band in California or something like that.
Irene behind the control board says we can play it.
I
need to know if it's instrumental or not. Let me hear a little bit of this thing. The way I feel about someone so far. All right, I've heard enough.
Wow.
Not an instrumental.
Yep.
Not an instrumental.
I agree with you on that.
Oh, I just remembered the band name.
Okay.
The Friends theme song, The Rembrandts.
Okay.
Yeah. They made their reputation on the back of that.
That
would have really bothered me if it had been after the mics went off. All right. So what happens next for you? European tour?
Yeah, I'm going to Europe, the UK, with Lightning Bolt.
This is one of the great things about the way you work is you just put it in a suitcase and off you go.
Yeah. I mean, I came here with it in a backpack.
Nice.
And that's how I travel a lot of the time. And that's like, you know, maybe that is a little bit of a reaction to Parts and Labor, because Parts and Labor, for a lot of the time, we used to joke, was three people with six people worth of gear. both me and BJ used to have two full stacks, one for guitar and one for electronics. And man, yeah, it's nice to be able to just travel with a backpack.
Life is the name of the record. Out on October 16th, catch Dan Friel and the string quartet Ethel at Secret Project Robot in Brooklyn the night before, October 15th. Dan, great to see you.
Good to see you, too.
This is Soundcheck. That does it for this podcast, but make sure to check out our archives of live performances, in-studio videos, exclusive music previews, and much more at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.